Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller. I hope the church is well.
No one is near.
Everyone, again, this is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. Listen, I'm so glad that you tuned in tonight, checking us out as usual. Tonight, you know, the conversation should be very interesting. You know, we like to just talk about things that you probably don't hear talked about, or you may hear talked about, or some things that you might just talk about, you know, in your house, amongst your friends, amongst your, you know, personal circle. We like to bring those conversations to the forefront. And, you know, and see where it takes us, you know, communicating. This is a new year, you know what I mean? So there's a whole lot of different new topics that we all should be, you know, talking about this year. This year, you know, we want to deal with some more educational things. We want to deal with more with our youth, what's going on, how we can help, you know, how we can, you know, inspire, rebuild certain things amongst our youth that has been tore down. You know, we want to, you know, on Dirty Church Radio, one thing, we do want to be a show that gives our youth hope and gives them strength and confidence within themselves. You know, like I always play the song, you know, I am the treasure. I want all the young people, all the youth of our world to know that they are valuable, that they mean something. Regardless of what situation they might find themselves in right now, you know, everyone is not living the same. Some are struggling worse than others, but we do want to leave, you know, an inspired word that you can get past this struggle. You can, you know what I mean, graduate from high school. You can go to college. You can, you know, be that entrepreneur that's within you, you know what I mean? You just need, you know, help along the way. We need encouragement, and we don't need to look down. You know, we need to rebuild. We need to give strength to our young people and all the older ones, you know, who have a lot of wisdom, who've been around and seen and learned in this life through their failures and mistakes. Those situations we must pass down to our youth so we can help them avoid some things, so they can go down some different roads, some different paths, so they don't have to constantly repeat, you know, the same mistakes of the fathers and mothers, the aunties and uncles. You know, we want to, you know, give them a direct and detailed path to go down in this time, because they're going to need it. Our young people, you know, there's a lot going on in our cities and our country. And we have to constantly encourage our young people in the midst of this. Well, tonight's topic, some may look at it like, oh, what are they talking about? Where are they about to go with this one? Well, tonight's topic we're going to be talking about is, did you wait? Did you wait? Some of us are married. Some people are thinking about marriage. And based on that, there are a lot of us, you know, have our religious views and our faith in God, and according to the word of God, the Bible, the Christians, you know, you're supposed to wait to have sex before you get married. But the question tonight is, how many of us who may be in leadership positions now, who may be, you know, preaching, you know, now and doing great things now, did you wait? Did you test the waters before, you know what I'm saying, you crossed over the bridge? And we just want to talk about some real issues right now, because I know right now, even out there are a lot of people being single, you know what I mean, and holding on to that faith and trying to do what, you know, the Word of God says for them, but temptation is constantly surrounding them, you know what I mean? And the reality of it is there's people that waited, but there's a lot of people who don't wait. There's a lot of people who, you know, succumb to the temptation. You know, and tonight is a show we just want to be real. We don't want to act like as soon as we get married now we just super, you know, super saved, super Christian. Because, like, you know, but there are people still struggling with those things. And some of us, if it wasn't for the marriage, where would we be at right now? Would we be as faithful to God as we are now? Because we got that part taken care of. So that's not our struggle. That's not our issue no more. Because we got someone to go home and lay down with and to take care of those different needs. So tonight, listen, whether you may be a pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, apostle, whatever, tonight we want people to call in on this show on Dirty Church Radio and talk to us about, did you wait? Or teach these people and show them why they should wait. Why they should wait, even in the midst of all the temptation. There are a lot of people who find it very hard to wait. Or some may say, listen, I don't want to, you know, wait, and then when I get married, I'm disappointed on what I got. You know what I mean? And those are things that may seem hard, but those are things people talk about. Those are things people think about. You know what I mean? What am I going to get? How about if I get married and I didn't test anything and I'm unpleased? So now I'm in a relationship and I'm unpleased. Now I have to deal with the temptation of wanting to be pleased, and I can't be pleased because I'm married to someone who can't please me. Wow. I know some people might not want to hear that or talk about that, but it's real issues. You know what I mean? Those are real issues that people are dealing with right now. You know what I mean? So, listen, it's not all about, you know, the sex and relationship. You must build, you know, a friendship. You must, you know, build that, you know, that commitment together. But there are a lot of things that we deal with in our mentals personally that we don't expose, because if we talk about it, we're going to be judged extremely, hit over the head with a hammer, kicked to the curb, stepped on, and run over, because we can't express what we're dealing with. And I believe a lot of times when you can talk about something and put it out there, then you can get help with this issue. You know what I mean? Because it's easy to say, just go ahead on and wait. You can't do that. But now in the midst of the waiting, I'm dealing with this temptation. How do I deal with the temptations that I'm feeling? How can I be in a relationship with someone and I'm feeling these feelings that were given to me? I didn't give myself these feelings. These feelings was created in me. So I'm dealing with a natural feeling. I'm dealing with a natural process that goes on within the body. So how do I overcome this? How can I still be in this relationship and get over this mountain of temptation, of not wanting to wait? How do I hold back wanting to express that desire that I'm feeling for my significant other, you know? And that's something that, you know, we really need to deal with here on Dirty Church Radio. So listen, I'm asking all pastors, not just preachers or anybody like that, but anyone who can call in and just talk about this this topic tonight, call in 773-897-6319. 773-897-6319. I would truly appreciate you calling in tonight, because listen, when you call in and you can even give your personal experience or express something that you went through, just know that it can help someone else. In this little time frame that Dirty Church Radio has, it could be your voice, it could be your situation that can help a masses of people that may be listening, that may be going through this, that may be praying, that may be, you know, trying to do other things to avoid the temptation You know, that there's a woman out here that really loves God, that's really wanting, you know, to do the right thing. You know what I mean? And she's holding on, but she's loving this man that she wants to be with. And now she's caught in that struggle, that war. You know what I mean? Help this lady tonight. Call in. Give her some advice. Give her some strength. Give her some hope, knowing that she can get through this temptation. That if she wait on God, God will make it right. Talk to me tonight. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. And tonight, the topic is, did you wait? Did you wait? Yeah, I'm talking to y'all out there in radio land right now. Did you wait? Did you truly wait on God? You may be all deep right now. You may be running revivals, you know, from town to town, and you may be doing big things. You know, you may be doing great things right now. But did you really wait? If you really be honest with yourself, did you wait? Did you truly wait? And if you did, call us. Let us know. Let us know that it's possible that you can wait. We need some testimonies. We need to hear something. It's not enough people talking. We need to hear people that have been victorious in this situation, that have waited, and things worked out just great. And we want to hear for those who didn't wait. But you got over it, God delivered you, and God made it right. Or however you think, whoever it was who made it right, whatever you believe tonight. Hold on, we have our brother D.A. on the line tonight. What's going on, D.A.?
What's good, man? How are you?
Good, man. Good, man. How are you doing, bro?
I'm doing good, doing good, doing good.
Yeah, man. I'm on here. We on here, man, talking about did you wait? You know what I mean? Did you wait? You know, to have sex before marriage based on your belief, your upbringing, your culture, your religion, you know? You truly wait. You know, I was talking just now. I was just saying, you know, there may be, you know, preachers or ministers or whoever, and I'm just talking about from a Christian's point right now, that may be doing great things right now, you know, running mad revivals, you know, doing, helping, you know, the needy, visiting prison ministries, doing all type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they might have not waited. They might have had sex before they got married, but they just asked for forgiveness after that and moved on. I mean, we want to, on Dirty Church Radio, you know, we just want to know. These are things that maybe people just talk about in their own personal circles, amongst their own family and friends. You know, but on Dirty Church Radio, we want to bring those conversations to the masses. You know what I mean? Like, did you really wait? You might got it all together right now, but, like, if you did wait, I'm telling them, I want to hear from them. Like, give us hope that you can truly wait, that it is possible to wait. And if you didn't wait, we want to know that too. Why didn't you wait? Was it too hard for you? Was the struggle too hard? Was the temptation too hard? Was your faith wasn't strong enough to overcome the temptation? Or your reason and logic said, I don't see no reason to do this. I don't see no reason to wait. I don't know why we should wait. This is the one I'm loving. This is the one I'm going to marry. So it doesn't matter if I do it before or after.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You don't know how people are thinking out here, man. So, D.A., man, talk to me, man. Talk to me a little bit about this, man.
Well, I actually, me personally, talking from experience, I did not wait. I do know some people that did wait.
Mm-hmm.
I do know some people that did wait. I also practiced celibacy at a time, but since we're talking about marriage, going into a marriage and waiting until you were married before you actually had sex with either that particular one, or are you talking about anybody in general? Just, you know, being a virgin until you got married, or just waited with your particular fiance before you actually married her or girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah, or just waiting, period, because your belief says you shouldn't be having sex.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not
because
now you done found someone, and now, all right, I've been having sex all the way until I found someone. So now, since I found someone, now I'm going to start my waiting to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying?
Well, to be honest, I actually, with my now wife, I didn't necessarily didn't have sex with her, but I did wait a year before I actually did have sex with my wife. We definitely did wait. It also helped because we were in different states. But the times that we actually did see each other, me personally made it my business to wait. And I would have to say that it wasn't necessarily because of my religious background. I think I just wanted to wait for other reasons besides religious reasons.
What reasons would you say? Like, what type of reasons?
Well, I wanted to establish a friendship first. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times what happened is people actually put themselves in situations where they fall in like before they fall in love. And sex, I believe, has a huge, huge, huge factor in that. You can like somebody and not necessarily even know them as a person based on you building that relationship, a sexual relationship with that person. And then once you start to find out who that person really is, you kind of put yourself in a position of a catch-22 because you love the person, but now you no longer like who that person is. But you didn't take the time to find out who that person was, and now you have invested all of your feelings in that person. It's kind of hard to just get out of that relationship or, you know. So
well, that's
why I waited.
So you think that's what makes people start dealing with stuff that they normally wouldn't deal with because they done connected themselves sexually. So now when they find out the truth, it's hard to break that tie because they have to put affections and emotions in it before actually learning who the person was.
Exactly.
And if they liked who that person was.
Exactly.
Okay. Wow. And so would you say that's the reason why a lot of times, relationships break up because, you know, it started with a strong, passionate sexual bonding, but then when we tried to gel mentally, there was a gap that we could not bring together. So now we can't talk, we can't communicate. The only thing that we can do right is have sex.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of times, real talk, like a lot of times, it's because of the sexual bond that I have with a individual that makes me stay around. I don't necessarily care to talk to you. I don't necessarily want to build like a relationship more than a sexual relationship with you. Especially me being a male, a lot of times men's nature, by nature, we tend to, we're able to have sex with a female without having feelings attached. So it's easier for us to establish those type of relationships. And you know, on the contrary, women a lot of times aren't like that. There are some women that can do that, but a lot of women can't. And they do attach emotions with the sexual aspect of it. And by doing that, you know, you put yourself in a situation where a lot of times it's very, very difficult to get out.
Wow. Yo, we got a caller on the phone.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Hello? Hello, caller? If someone called in on here from a 521 number.
521.
Hello?
I'm sorry,
yeah.
I had it on mute. I just called in and I caught the tail end of the conversation, so I don't know the topic. I'm sorry.
Well, the topic is, did you wait? We're talking about, you know, did you wait to have sex before you got married? Are you single right now? You have a faith that teaches that you should not have sex before marriage, but you find it very hard to follow that rule. Or, you know, you're in a relationship or you've been single, all right? You've been having sex with different people, but now when you found the one you think is the right one, now you choose to stop having sex until you get married. Just different scenarios talking about did you wait, or are you waiting, or are you trying to wait?
My opinion? It would be nice, you know, if you could abstain yourself for that one. Personally, in the society that we live in, I think it's impossible to do that. Unless you try your hardest, it's not impossible. Yes, you can do it, but it's almost impossible to remain abstaining when there's sex everywhere and our hormones are going crazy all the time. Then there's that, you know, what are the odds of meeting a virgin and the other person not being one? I personally wouldn't want a virgin for a husband because I have already participated in sex. So, me personally, I would like somebody, not professional, but, you know, a little good.
Not professional.
Okay. So what you're saying is, you'd rather test the water.
I have tested the water.
Okay. That's
well,
what
me personally, Jay, I'm sorry. Did you have more to say, caller? I don't want to cut anybody off.
I've already had sex before marriage, and because I am where I'm at in my life, I wouldn't want a virgin for a husband. I'll take it as it is. I'd be clean, of course. You check and make sure they're clean and all that, but. All that counting partners and all that, I mean, your past is your past. If I'm going to marry you, there's a reason, there's something there that is making me stay, and it's not how many partners you had, but there's something more. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm probably getting deep.
Yeah, it makes sense. I totally can understand that. This is what I just wanted to pinpoint on. You also made a good point on a particular thing, but I know certain religions say that, you know, it's a bad thing to have sex before marriage, and you should sustain yourself from having sex before marriage. The Bible, the Christian faith, actually knew what it was because they know that it's actually unnatural to sustain yourself from having sex because it's a natural thing. It's a natural pleasure for us to want to have sex. That's why Christians believe in being born again spiritually, so you won't be subject to your naturalistic desires, which is sex. But I know some people are going to raise their eyebrows when I say what I'm about to say. But I think it's very wise and very intelligent. For some people, other people, it may not be. I think it's very wise for you to have sex with your partner before you get married with them, especially if you are a type of person who is very sexual. Let's say, for instance, my fiance, she is not, or I am not as sexual as my fiance is or my girlfriend is, but I never knew that. We talked about sex, but you know, we never acted on it. We never, you know, did it or anything like that. And now that we're married, and I find out that my wife is very, very, very sexual, and I'm not sexual because of whatever case may be, my past, whatever the case is, and I find out that I'm not pleasing her sexually. Well, don't you think she would have known that prior to us getting married? And a lot of times, sex is a huge part of a marriage, especially in the beginning. Especially as young people, it's a huge part of the marriage, and a lot of times that can be the reason why people break marriages up or leave because you are not compatible with that person sexually.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to say about that? Well, some views, some ideas on that.
I agree. I agree. In a perfect scenario, one person being very active or very sexual and the other person very drawn back, and that could cause a lot of problems. And had you known that before, that could have been avoided. So I agree.
What's your view on it, Jay?
No, well, I'm just saying now, you got to talk. You're talking from you got to look at it from two different points, though.
Mm-hmm.
You got to talk about if you're looking at it according to logic and according to reason, as we normally talk about on the show,
mm-hmm.
you would say yes. But then now when you bring your belief in your faith of something into play where that thought or that action goes against that, now what about that person?
I think there are a lot of compromising there because a lot of people may believe something, but to believe is one thing. To practice your belief wholeheartedly is another thing. And a lot of times, because even the Bible talks about how you shouldn't be unequally yoked. And I don't think that it was just referring to people who believe and people who didn't believe. It wasn't necessarily talking about people from other cultures and other religions and you know, other walks of life. It was talking about from every aspect of it. It's just talking about somebody who's compatible with you. So if I'm very, 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 very saved and I so happen to fall in love or put myself in a very, very loving relationship with somebody who believes the way I do, but it's still sexual, very, 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 very sexual. Yeah, we can wait once until we get married. Now that we're married and we're still saved, we still believe, but now that my wife and I are married and we both stay saved, she still wants sex 10 times more than I do. It still causes a problem, whether you believe or whether you don't believe, whether religion is a part of it or whether it isn't.
Because then it comes down to the point, am I being pleased? Am I being satisfied?
Yes.
So.
And by you being married, it's your obligation and your duty to do so.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
see, and people, a lot of people don't understand that, well, not they don't understand, but I don't know how much people take into consideration. You got to understand, religion does not dictate sexual rules, basically. Culture does. And the reason why I say that is because today, right, we say that people shouldn't get married. I mean, people shouldn't have sex before they get married. But it's a huge demand on success and being successful nowadays than it was 100 years ago. For instance, 100 years ago, women got married when they were 16, 15, 14 years old. And it was okay for them to do so. Boys, too. And the reason why is because there was no such thing as higher learning. You didn't have to worry about graduating high school and then straight from high school, you don't have to think about going to college, and then straight from college, you might do 4 more years for a master's degree, so you can be successful and have a successful family and lifestyle. Back then, they didn't have to worry about that. So the expectation of sex was a whole lot sooner based on culture. So by the time I started to become sexual, because people start to hit puberty around, what, 14, 13, 15, 16 years old, around that age. So by that time, I'm already married 100 years ago. So it's okay for me to actually have sex. But because nowadays higher learning is such a priority in our society, it's not okay for somebody to get married at the age of 16. Now women are getting married in their early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying for a woman and a man to wait until they're 30 to have sex? That's highly unlikely. Is it possible? Of course it's possible. People do it all the time. But
mm-hmm.
it's highly unlikely because of culture.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, because you can go to our grandmoms and our great grandmoms. Most likely,
exactly.
They married around 14,
yep.
15, you know, real young. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at it right now, but right now if you look at something like that.
Yeah,
you catch in the charge and you going to jail. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No questions asked.
Yeah, because the husbands, they was grown men marrying, you know what I mean?
Yep, 15, 16-year-olds, yep.
Yeah, that's how it was. And it wasn't looked at back then 100 years ago like a crime. Like it would
exactly.
Be.
Exactly.
So culture does play a big part on everything, man. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's true.
And what is our culture saying right now about sex?
Go ahead.
What is our culture saying right now about sex? Do it, do it, do it. Have fun, have fun, have fun. Do it a lot, do a lot, do a lot. That's around all the time. The 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds back then did not have the mentality that the 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds have now. They were the ones 100 years ago, they were trained from babies on up to take care of a home. This is what you got to do to take care of your husband. Like they do in some cultures now. They train
mm-hmm.
their women up to be good wives, to take care of their husbands. In the society we live in this country, it's about self, doing what I need to do to take care of myself, getting mine, being mine, and having fun doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, so true.
Yeah,
so
that's
how do you, the question is, how is religion going to be able to promote, I guess, or stand on their will of this is what we stand for, but everywhere around is like it's not that anymore. How do you get your youth to stay abstained from sex before they're married?
Well, me personally,
I believe it really starts back in the households, in the upbringing. You know what I mean? I believe it starts at home because I don't care what the culture is right now. In my mind, I don't want my daughters having sex at no 13 and 14 years old. I don't care how advanced the world has become based upon technology and information. I don't want that, regardless.
So how do you teach her? You don't have to want, I don't want my children doing drugs. I don't want my children having sex, having babies, messing with dumb dudes. But how do you teach it to your child in a society?
I have a totally different outlook on all of that. But go ahead. Finish. Yeah, go ahead, Jay. How do you prevent that from happening?
Hold on. You said you have a... All right. I just need to ask you one question, D.A.
Yes.
When I just said I don't want my daughter having sex at 13 or 12, don't tell me you was about to say you have a different outlook on that statement.
Yes, I do. I have a huge, entirely different outlook
here,
on that.
Before you say the statement, I have a question for you. How old were you when you, if you don't mind me asking, I mean, if you save yourself to marriage, that's what's up, but how old were you?
No. Never one of us on this show saved ourselves before marriage.
No, I didn't.
Oh, well,
I don't know you.
As the host, I'm talking about the host of the show. Like we can't speak from that place.
Okay.
It's good to have someone that can call in that can say that, but
that would be nice.
We can't speak from that place.
So since you started from the other side before, you had sex before marriage, so you know what's out there. You know how the dogs act. How do you teach your daughter? This do not have sex before marriage. This is what you did.
The only way. The only way I can teach my daughter is to probably most likely keep it as real as possible because I was that dude, I was that guy,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And to give and to help her to not be, make sure she's not naive and stupid to be
right.
able to just out there just fall for any little slick little line or anything like that, to let her know what game is and how game comes. You still make your choices on what you're going to do because you're going to make your choices. But I don't want her to make her choices based off of her being stupid.
Ignorant
okay.
to what's out there.
Ignorant to
okay.
what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. You know, if she's going to do it, she's going to do it. But she won't do it from a place of, like, you know, she got a big tomato on her head. You know what I'm saying? A little onion on her head. You know what I'm saying? Looking like that.
Just to answer your question, you said I told you I would I see it entirely different,
yeah,
meaning
I mean,
that right. Do I want my kids, my daughters? I have three daughters and one son. Do I want my three daughters and one son to actually grow up being very, very promiscuous and having sex with anybody and everybody? No. But do I understand reality and the world that we live in? And now, and just like the caller said, today's society with children are totally different from 15, 20 years ago when we were being raised
when we
up.
Were young. Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, check this out. If I was able to talk to my mom the way I'm trying to establish myself to be able to talk to my daughters and son, if I was able to talk to my mom that way, then I probably would not have got myself in situations, ignorant, dumb, stupid situations because of the knowledge of who I got my knowledge from. I got my knowledge from my friends, and my friends knew just as much as I did, if not less. And that is where I got my information from. That's where I got my knowledge from. That's where I got, you know, all the things that I've done. I got it from them because those are the people I talked to. I couldn't talk to my parents because my parents just said, don't do it. Don't do it. You're dumb. Don't do it. They didn't talk to me. You know what I'm saying? So in the respect
I got a question
of,
for you. I got a question. Well, how about the parents that they take that angle and, you know, they talk and they communicate. And then all of a sudden, the child doesn't start looking at you as father. They just start looking at you as friend and talking to you that way. And the next thing you know, like the respect of the child and the parent is gone.
Well, see,
and
they
look at you as just a friend. So, like, now when they get angry because you're so cut you out.
That's never the case because on top of being honest, it's a level of respect as a parent, and I'm always going to be viewed as a parent. Even though I could be honest with you and sit down and talk to you, I have enough knowledge and wisdom to know how to speak to a child, someone younger than me, a whole lot younger than me, not even a teenager yet, you know what I'm saying, to have a level of respect in conversation. I would never allow my kid to talk to me any type of way. Being honest doesn't allow a kid to talk to you any type of way with disrespect. It's just them being honest. And my thing is, if my daughter is 15, 16 years old, I can't prevent her from having sex. I can't. I don't care how much stuff I try to do. I don't care how much. I believe that I had excellent parents. My parents were cool, you know what I'm saying? They understood, but it didn't prevent me from not having sex. I still had sex. Period. I was raised in the church.
You're absolutely right. When
you know
a woman or a little girl likes a boy, there is nothing mommy or daddy can say to stop her from liking him. Nothing in the whole wide world, because her mind and her little heart is set on him, and that's just part of learning it too. As she gets older, but that teenage era, is that girl, and that's speaking from experience, anything that came against my little relationship in high school, I did whatever I had to do to stay with my man.
And see, and
so,
that's... Go ahead.
But that was immature thinking. That's coming from a child who didn't have a sit-down talk. This is what it's about. I have three daughters, 13, 8, and 3. And I don't tell my daughter, don't have sex, because that's just stupid. She might one day have sex when I'm not around. I did. So I tell her, Deja, I teach her from little. Sweetie, love yourself. I teach her little things so that you're not just sleeping around with this any old dude and that dude. You're not going to just make stupid decisions as you grow up. I'm teaching her to make wise decisions so that as she makes any mistake in her life, it's not coming from ignorant place, with ignorance, you don't know.
And
the crazy part is, right before I called in the show, I just sat here and talked with my 8-year-old, not about sex, but I just told her, I was like, sweetie, you love yourself first, and you love everything about you, then there's nothing that anybody can say or do to you to hurt you or make you change from who you are, because she was saying how she's too nice and she cares and she likes to forgive. I'm like, that's who you are. And I said, do you love that about yourself? And she says, yes. So I'm instilling in her self-love. So when these little boys come to her and speak little whatever they say in her ear, she's going to know, I love myself first. There's nothing you can tell me that's going to counteract what they already told me or what is already said. I agree as far as being honest. You have to keep it 100 because everybody else in the world is keeping it 100. You go on the internet, it's 100. You go outside in conversation, it's 100 everywhere. So you have to be just as 100 in your own home to counteract anything that's being said out there because you don't know what's being said to your children. And they're not going to tell you everything. You can ask them, how was your day? They're going to say, fine. They're not going to tell you the details of the conversation unless you ask the details of the conversation. But you do everything in your power
That's so true. And, like, that's basically where I was coming from when you asked me how would I deal with, you know, the situation. You asked me a question. In that respect, that's how I'm going to talk to my children. I know I can't stop my daughters.
I understand that. I mean, from that, when you put it from that angle, I truly understand that because I think a lot of times a big problem happens with us as parents is we seem to forget what we've done. And how we was on it, the lies that we've told, you know, the things that we wasn't, you know, that we didn't reveal, you know, the things that you learned in school.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if I was to tell you the stuff that I just learned in just going to school, you know what I mean? Because when you go to school, you go to a place where there's children from many households that have seen different things. So now you got so much that you can take in because you got all these different households in one room. You know what I'm saying? And like, yo, I'm gonna tell you, I can just remember, I was off the chain as a child. Me as a man,
damn, you need to be upstairs taking your shower. Let's go.
It's something how I used to always be
you
like,
want me to go pick Naya up, Christy? How are you going to do it?
I won't give me boys because I'm hard, but you know what? God gave me girls. All girls.
No, and you like, need to take your shower.
It's something. I'm learning so much. And I learned, like now I'm learning when you're in the house full of nothing but women.
Yeah, I need you to hurry up. Go ahead.
Things seem to move real fast because they just seem to keep growing like so fast. It's something, man. So I gotta constantly stay on my P's and Q's, man.
Yes, and that's what I've been learning. I have a 13-year-old, and my reference guide has been: think back to when you were her age. What were you thinking? What were you doing? And the fortunate part about what I've noticed with my daughter is she's a little behind where I was at her age. So I thank God for that. And it's not naive mommy talking, because trust, I'm all up in her beeswax.
Don't go back in there.
She's a little behind, but I'm being proactive. She's very active in sports, very active in school. Her schedule is too busy to even worry about the things that's going on as far as her peers. And right now, that's the role I'm taking until, you know, high school's next year, freshman, so that's going to be the harder role. But for now, eighth grade is what's working, whereas in eighth grade, I was no longer a virgin. So the reference, I use myself as a reference, and really don't forget how you were. Oh, my gosh, it's the best thing when you were their age, and best reference guide in the world. And sometimes, you know, don't always work because they are their own individual selves. They have their own personality. They're not just like us. But, you know, we teach them and we raise them. We know how they are. Keep our eyes on them. Like you said, keep your eyes on them. Stay on your P's and Q's. If your faith believes that you want to abstain from sex before marriage, do everything you can to instill that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, reality too. There is a world. Should she not do that, don't make her feel bad, because that's kind of start off of, to me, I could be wrong, but I feel like that's the start off. I let my father down. So now there's sadness there or disappointment. One thing I said, I don't want my children to ever see a disappointment in my eyes because of a mistake or something they did wrong. Fine. We all make mistakes. we've done it, no matter how big it is. The Bible says no sin is great or small, but, you know, we as humans tend to put the judgment on that. One thing I say, I don't want my children to see that judgmental eye on them. I want them to always see compassion and to learn from whatever mistake they make, if it's a mistake, and move on to know that they're loved and they could continue to come to me instead of run the other way, because that's what I did. Anytime I made a mistake, I ran the other way from my family as opposed to coming to them. Don't want that for my children. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. And Yeah, you're right. Another thing is, I apologize for not, I thought I put the phone on pause and all my kids was talking. But,
Daddy duty, man. We know.
My thing is, this is my thing. We as parents, and even dealing with religion, you made an excellent point. What happens is, when we look at our kids in a very disappointing manner, they do either one or two things. They either distance themselves from us, or they get and they become very, very close with whoever, you know, their friends, their boyfriend or whatever like that, or they totally rebel big time, like hugely rebel. Mm-hmm. Now, my thing always was, why would you knock somebody, a child, at that? Why would you knock them for making a human mistake? Like, I'm a man. If I were to get mad at my son because I caught him in his room masturbating and I put him on punishment, I would be the worst father in the whole entire world.
Yeah, because you know you've done it before, and, like, you know what it's like to do that.
not only that, but it's
no.
but it's natural. It's a natural act. Now, not only that. So let's say this is one thing that my mom did to my daughter, and she tells me to this day she truly regrets it. My oldest sister, my second oldest sister, was in college, and when she was in college, she got pregnant. And she had a, you know, promising future. She still has a good life now. She has an excellent life. She does very, very well for herself. But she was going to school to be, I think, a lawyer or something like that. And what happened was she got pregnant. And when she got pregnant, she had to drop out of school. And my mother wasn't mad because she dropped out of school. I'm quite sure that had something to do with it a little bit. But she wasn't mad because she got dropped out of school. She was upset because she is the first lady of a church, of my father, who was a pastor, and their daughter got pregnant. My mother did not speak to my sister for like a year. Like, not communicate, because they still lived in the same house, but she lost that real communication with my sister because she was really upset at her for making a humanistic mistake, mm-hmm. which is having sex.
Yeah.
But if you put yourself in the situation, you thinking yourself 10 years ago, what would you have done? You probably would have had sex too. The difference is she had a kid and you didn't. That's the difference. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
when you go to college, when you go to college anyway, yo, college is a whole other world, man. Like,
I experienced it.
Yeah, like, come on. Like, you could be the most, you know, anti-social person in the world. College is straight change you, man. It'll put you
in
trouble, man. You know
big
what I'm
time. Big time.
And, but I'm going to tell you, though. I'm going to be honest. I hear what you're saying about disappointing, but there are some things that can happen with your child or the decisions that your child would make. It would be very hard for you to not show a disappointed look.
Unconditional love.
Yeah, you can still unconditional love them, but in the heat of the moment, just like me, it's like you're a man, you walk in and you catch your daughter having sex. You can't tell me you just going to be like,
Oh no,
not at all, nah.
But
there are
this is the part that
where I'm not caring about how you see my face looking.
Oh,
you know
not
what I mean?
That part. No, you better run.
I don't care how my expression is looking. Like, I want you to see it in its full detail. You know what I mean? This is how I'm looking, and this is what's about to happen. Like, you know what I mean? And then we'll get over that hump. But it's not like I'm going to kick you to the curb, never love you again, hate you. But listen.
Oh,
never,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But right there, when I'm mad about something, I'm going to be mad. You know what I mean? Listen. And
well, the Bible also talks about yeah, it's okay to get mad, but don't actually what did it say about allowing your anger to kind of take the best of you, so to say, like allowing your anger,
but not like don't allow your anger
to tempt you to sin.
Yeah, to sin.
What does it
say? Also say mother, children, obey your parents. But then also saying, you know, parents, don't provoke your children.
Right, yes.
You know what I mean? Don't provoke them to do things. You know what I mean?
Now, in that particular situation, what you just mentioned, you walk in and you see your children. Okay, yes, the act in itself is startling, but there's disrespect there. There's a whole lot of things that is wrong under that scenario that caused reaction right away. I'm not saying, you messed up, but, you know, I'm going to show you love. No. It's going to be the actual opposite. But after all that drama, and you've got to come back and sit down and talk about it, that's where I want the display of love to show. Not where,
yeah.
I can't believe you did that. I want nothing else to do with you. Don't you ever talk to me again. Don't look my way. Go through you. Go through with him.
Yeah.
As opposed, all right, yes, we were angry. Yes, I slapped you around a couple times. But at the end of the day, when we come back to the table, know that this is why I'm really, even when we're in the heat of anger, we don't even really know why we're upset until after we sit down and think over the whole scenario. So when you come back in and then talk about the situation, because you can't let that go undiscussed, okay, this is why I'm upset, this is why I did this, but this is wrong.
Both.
You said what?
I said me, I'm whooping both. If I walk
in, I agree. We
I'm whooping
it.
My child and the other person's child that's doing whatever
I ain't whooping
with
them.
My child.
You better hope I don't kill you.
Oh, so DA.
I honestly don't think that I hope I wouldn't just wild out and start, you know, kicking my daughter in the head or my son in the head or I'm sorry. I have a question for both of you. Do you think that if you caught your son doing something sexually in the house, and your daughter doing something, which one do you think you would?
That's
would
very
you be
from a man's point of view? And I'm just saying, from a man's point of view, regardless. Y'all can judge me if you want. I don't even care. I don't care about how anybody feel what I'm about to say. From a man's point of view, all right, give me ages.
16.
16, all right.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, from a man's point, I would be, The first instant, this has nothing to do with religion, faith, or anything. This has to do just as a man. First, my son, I'll be like, Dad, he's not gay. All right?
But wait, I was thinking the same thing.
Seriously, I'll be like, he's not gay. All right? First of all, I will most likely have to get on him because of my wife.
Now, that's what I knew you were going to say. You like, yo, you know, man, your mom is not good. That's the first thing that comes. Yo, your mom ain't going to be happy about this, yo.
Yeah, I would have to. You know what I'm saying? And I know people were like, oh, that's not right and everything. And you know what? It's probably not right.
Eliminate the wife. You by yourself as a man. Go.
Hello?
Yeah,
eliminate your wife.
Eliminate your wife and just talk about
you. Because if you think of your wife, you would be like your mom. But take that out the equation, just you and your son, what's up?
Yo, son, first of all, listen, you know you're wrong. First of all, you're disrespecting me and your mother. First of all, in my house. You know what I'm saying? On top of that, first of all, I'm gonna sit down and talk with him. My son, I'm not beating. I'm not going to hit him. I'm not going to hit my son. I'm gonna sit down and talk to my son. Listen, are you using protection? Were you using protection? Listen, this type of stuff is, you know, it can't happen, man. You know what I mean? You can't be out here, you know, creating babies and different things like this. And like you said, Aaron, I would say, you better be glad that it was me than my wife catching you. Because if I came in with her, my response would be completely different. And I know that's probably messed up. It's probably messed up. But you want to know what it is? I have a friend, my boy B. He had that same experience. His dad walked in and caught him with a girl on the couch. His dad came upstairs. God bless the dad. His dad came upstairs, looked, and listened. And I'm going to tell you, when he seen his dad, he was looking at his dad like he really wanted to hear, but he kept going, right? And his dad was like, hey, what? Oh, like, and then he jumped up, and his boy was like, his dad like went back downstairs and was like, boy, that girl, get up out of here, like, come up. And then, yo, but guess what his dad did? You know, he made that big fuss. The girl was all scared, which had to walk past him and leave and everything. When he went upstairs, he said, oh, boy, come here. So he put his arm around him. He was like, boy. My son, boy, I love you. But listen, if your mom would have been with me, this would not have been the equation. I would have had to go up top on you just because your mother was there. But he was like, word is bomb, boy, I'm so glad you ain't gay. That's what he said to me. That's what his dad said.
And you know
what?
I believe that every father-son's initial thing, if it really did go down, would be like that. I work at a barbershop, and when we have this discussion, it's usually 9 times out of 10 like that. Not saying let me give you a hug and debt, but first is that relief inside of, okay, he's not gay. And then it's almost like they go straight to the wife next. Mama ain't going to be cool with this. And I'm not saying I'm cool with it, but let me show protection. Don't get nobody pregnant, bring no babies home. They give them the rules of how to do it right.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? Me personally, and you may not believe me, but I would act the same with my daughter as my son. Hopefully, I won't flip out with either one of them.
Everybody can't do it like you.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know what I'm saying? Like I said.
Trained himself and set himself up and prepared himself to hopefully turn out that way.
Yeah,
yes?
Exactly. I mean, because I don't know exactly what would happen because I'm not in the situation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But
you know what? We on the radio and I'm not going to really say, because Aaron, you know I'm a very detailed, vivid person.
Yeah.
So I really can't. I can't even give you the scenario
I
want to give you.
No, but I know what scenario you want to give me. And for that scenario, I'm telling you that I would do everything in my power to react the same way
and you know
with
what?
My son.
That's good enough for me because you said you would do everything in your power. So that means you would have
your liability might snap
to do it. It wouldn't just be so easy for you to do, but you would try.
Yeah, but the thing about it wouldn't be easy for my son either, because I'm looking at both of them in the same type of manner.
I understand that, right? I hear what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
And I just want my son. Yeah, you know, I just wouldn't want him, you know, doing like that and all. You know what I'm saying? For real.
Yeah.
I would not. But one thing too. I want to make my son feel like
he did something bad.
Let's reverse it then on DA. Let's reverse it. And I'm just asking you.
Okay.
You come home.
Mm-hmm.
You get your son with a dude.
Yeah, see, now check it. It would shock me, but I would not be upset.
What?
Yes, it would shock me. I probably would be shocked.
You said you wouldn't be upset?
Disappointed?
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't be disappointed?
Even my, no, because I don't look at that as a disappointment.
You wouldn't be, you wouldn't be disappointed?
No,
but you said
what?
That, but you said before that when if you caught him with a girl, your first relief would be, okay, he's not gay.
But no, no, Jay said that. I didn't say that.
Jay Miller, I said, this is DA talking.
Yeah.
Okay, I said, you know, I'd be like, yo, with my son, you know, I'm glad he's not gay, but if I catch him with, I'm going to tell you, I ain't going to front, and if anyone get offended, they just get offended. But this is my personal opinion. And like I say to everyone out there, this is Dirty Church Radio. You have the right to feel how you feel and say what
uh-huh.
you feel. Me, I catch my son with a man, I am extremely heated, I am disappointed, and I don't know.
What would you do?
Can I ask you a question? Why would you be disappointed?
No, because I don't want my son to grow up and be gay.
I understand that. My question to you is, do you think that you failed as a father or your wife failed as a mom? Like, do you think that's the reason why you'd be upset a little bit? Like,
no,
because it was something that you didn't do?
I would be upset to the point that, regardless if I want to look at it, me as failure, I would be like, what got to my son? What is it that got to him? I'll be looking around, did anyone touch him? Like, I would really be on some other stuff, man. I won't want my son to grow up like that.
Okay, so what if it's none of the above?
I would not want my son to grow up. I would be very disappointed. Yes, I would.
What if it's none of the above, and it's not because someone touched him or turned him out? He turns around and says, "Dad, it's nothing. I've really been feeling like this since I was young, as long as I can remember. It is what it is. You did not fail as a father. Mommy did not fail as a mother. This is who I am.
I'm still his father. I'm still his father, right? But I'm not as happy as I would be if he was straight. Honest. I still love him. Still my son. Be there for him as I can.
What's your big butt? But the big butt is?
No, I'm saying I would be more happier and more proud of him.
Dang, that's beat up. He would definitely not have a relationship with his father.
All right, well, listen, that's you. Listen. This is Dirty Church Radio. Everybody does not feel the same. And there are some men that will call in that will feel like you. I would be disappointed. I would actually have to learn all over again to feel a certain way. It wouldn't just be a natural feeling like with you, like, oh, well, it's okay. It's part of life. It wouldn't be that way with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's me. With you, you know, it probably would be that way. But with me, no. And for me to say otherwise, I would
be lying to yourself. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I have three daughters, and there's a possibility. I think it crossed every parent's mind. If one of my children should turn out to be gay, I wouldn't have an issue with it, and I don't want them to look and see me to have an issue with it, because I feel like it's limiting. It's a limit on your love, or you're judging your child, where we're not supposed to judge people, period. And if anybody should continue to feel love, regardless of what decisions or path they take in their life, you should always feel it from your family. If you don't feel it from your family, I mean, it'd be nice if you have good friends and other people in your life, but it bothers me to hear that there's judgment coming out of you towards your son, and that it's almost a limit of your love for him. Yes, you say I'm still going to love him.
This word is a limit of love. Listen, first of all, my thing is like this, all right? It's the act. It's the act. It's
what act?
No, it's the I don't want my son sleeping with men. Like, how can I be wrong for feeling that way? Like, who's wrong for feeling that way? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like I'm only a good father. I will only be a good father if my son sleeping with another man is okay with me.
That so who says your parenting is judged upon how he turned out his life? He's his own individual person.
What I'm saying is, I would not agree with it or condone that. And he would know that I'm not happy with that.
Okay,
that
so then why
not
put that same
son,
emphasis
but
on
I don't
everything
have to like
else
that
you don't agree
I don't
with?
Like that lifestyle.
You're very passionate about it, I can hear. So my question is, there's going to be a lot of things and decisions they make in their lives that we don't agree with and we don't condone, but they're going to do. Why are you putting the emphasis so heavily on the Homosexuality Act as opposed to
he can grow up and be
anything
a drug
else?
Dealer. I wouldn't want him to be a drug dealer. He can grow up and rob banks. I wouldn't want him to be a bank robber. That's just one of the things that's added to the whole equation. Is that? That's my opinion. That's what I feel. It's still my son. I would love him. I would be there for my son. You know what I'm saying? I would be there for my son, but it's not like if my son is at my crib and he got a wife and he kissed his wife, then my son bringing a man to my house and kissing a man in front of me. Like, no.
So that's
no,
not going to be allowed?
No,
so if he
no.
hasn't built a husband or a man, he will no longer be allowed to come to your house?
No. He can come to my house, but listen what I said.
He ain't bringing him.
Just listen what I'm saying to you. Just say right now I'm married. My son get married. He got a wife. They come over. They at my house. We chilling, watching movies. You know, he laid up on the couch. His wife got, you know, her head in his lap, and we just watching, you know, football, just chilling. All right, that's all good. I would not be in my house with that same scenario, and my son on the couch laid back with a man's head in his lap, and they chilling like that. No, I'm not accepting that in my house. That's my rule. I have the right to not have certain scenarios under my roof.
What is that teaching?
It's teaching, you know, it's teaching him that I have rules that go in my house. What you do in your house is your house, but you will not do that in mine.
Fine. I won't kiss in your house, Dad. I won't show affection towards my man in your house.
Listen, like I just told y'all, he's still my son. I would still love him. If he be with a man, he's going to be with him. He make that choice. But listen, he's making a choice too. And he's making a choice too. And he has to be concerned too. Everyone is just talking about me accepting his choice, but he's not thinking about the consequence of how I feel either. So who's really being selfish? Is it me or him? Or is it both?
Well, when you become a man, he has to think for himself, and it's no longer about what you like or dislike anymore.
And I think for
it's
myself,
only that
and
way
I
when he's a child and you're raising
that I
him.
Go by, that I go
it just
by.
Sounds like there's stipulations on it.
I would like for you to come at it
from an angle of if my son was a murderer, if my son was a homosexuality, if he was gay, if he was kissing all type of men, and or he murdered all type of people, if he was a rapist, no matter what, I don't agree with the act. I'm still, yes, you're saying you're still going to love him, and I'm not going to treat him any differently.
Listen, I never told y'all
I would kick my son
to the curb and never speak to my son.
No, not kick him to the curb. You didn't go that far.
I'm saying,
but
it
does sound like it's
going
to be a change in how you treat him.
A man in my house doing the way I would accept a woman in my house. Bottom line, and that's how it is.
What's about to happen to the compassion of Christ accepting all for who they are and what they are, and praying, and if you don't agree with it, fine. I don't agree with it, but I'm going to pray. But I'm not going to treat you any differently. It just sounds like there's a lot of judgment coming.
Put it this way. When it comes to that scenario, like right there, I explain how I feel, what I won't accept in my house, which is doing your house. Just call me the bad guy in that scenario. Like, I'll be the bad guy. Like, and I don't mind playing that role in that situation. So I'll be the bad guy. When it comes to that, I'll be the bad daddy in that scenario.
All right, and what if the relationship takes a turn because you choose to be the bad daddy, and now son doesn't want to come around when daddy acts like that, so now the relationship is deteriorating because the son don't want to be around daddy when he acts like that. The daddy don't want to see the son's actions of what he's doing, so there's a relationship deteriorating because of pride and how you feel about a situation.
I can accept me not allowing my son to be in my house on my couch with a man laying his hand in his lap. I can accept me not allowing that. And
regardless of the consequences behind it. So if my son chooses not to think that daddy don't love him because I won't allow him to lay on my couch with a man's head in his lap, then that's something my son has to deal with. He has something to get over, not me.
True indeed. It's safe to stay with the whole son showing affection in the home, but take it further, because clearly it's not about the showing of the affection around you as opposed and not showing it around you. It's deeper than that. And
well, I established, I'm against it, period. I'm against it,
to the point
period.
You'll let your son walk out of your life and your relationship deteriorate?
It's not a hate. It's not a hatred. We done had shows on here before. It's not a hatred. It's just something that I don't believe in. Do I have to believe in it? Like, do I have to believe that it's okay for men to sleep with men to be a good person?
I don't believe
like,
in it.
Does that make
right.
me, like, more lovable because I believe that it's okay?
No, me personally, this, I mean, you know, yeah, I went back and forth and I was loving it. For the first time, it wasn't me going back and forth with you on the gay topic, but
it's not a gay.
No, I know. I'm just talking about this particular situation.
Yeah.
But my thing is, this is my thing. What happens is, religion makes so much sense until it doesn't, dealing with a personal situation or personal issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Religion makes so much sense when it comes to not having sex before marriage until you're faced with the situation and you can say, yeah, it isn't right, but I did it. See,
yeah.
That's when religion is pushed to the side and that's
yeah.
when you compromise. But
yeah.
then on other scenarios and other situations, you can put religion on top of that wholeheartedly without even looking back, because that's not something that you actually
no,
dealt with or
bad, though. What's wrong is wrong. Whether you choose to obey it or not, it's still wrong. It's not
no,
like,
it's not
like someone is saying that it's not wrong. Like if I believe that sleeping with someone before marriage is wrong based upon my belief, and I didn't follow it or I felt it, that doesn't mean, I'm not saying that every person in the world is perfect. We all make decisions. We all do make choices, whether it's based on religion or just living in life in general. We make choices, all right? But there are some things, everybody, I don't care who you are, there are some things that you look at more personal or you take to heart more than others. Regardless of what
I have a scenario for you. What's your name again, Mr. J?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we were sitting here talking about what if we walk into a scenario, how would you react? And we just know how we're going to react. I'm going to do this or I may do that. Now, there was a situation that occurred in my family years ago. When it was talked about before it happened, the reaction was, oh, well, this happened, this is what I'm going to do no matter what. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. When the situation actually hit home in the forefront of the door, my reaction was the complete opposite. Because my main focus when it comes to my children is I want them to know that they're loved, that mommy has your back, I will protect you, provide, all that stuff. Because that's my focus, when that situation hit the fan, there was no reaction. It was a lot of stopping, thinking, stopping, talking, thinking. And because it was like that, the reason we did the stopping and talking thing is because at the end of the day, I love my child, I was protecting my child, and I wanted my child's best interest at hand. It could have turned very ugly. It could have went upside down. I personally don't want to put the, if I'm making it more difficult by not sharing, I apologize. But there basically was, the reaction that I've been saying for years to this particular situation was not that. It actually, in turn, turned out to be more peaceful, and at the same time, my daughter didn't feel rejection. She still felt mommy's love. She still had mommy had her back, whereas it could have been ugly and opposite. I say all that to say that instead of focusing on the issue or the act or that, as long as your focus is your son and your love for him and what you want for him is best, no matter what decisions he makes in life, no matter what choices he makes in life, whether you agree or disagree. What isn't there a verse in the Bible that says, when a child teach them while they're young so that when they get old, they don't depart from it? There's a reason for that. When they get old, they're going to want to fish around, whether they're fishing in the pond that you like or not. But I feel like the compassion and the love should continue to be there without the judgment and without the mean
eye,
so that when should he see his ways in the future,
daddy's
love is right there.
I think it's something that you're not hearing that I said.
I know you're going to love your son.
You see, that has nothing to do with what I won't allow in my house. That has nothing to do with that, what I won't accept in my house. Like, I'm a grown man. I'm the father. If I'm a father, I have rules, and I don't have to break my rules for my house to please my son to show him that I love him. He's going to know that I love him through life raising him and being there for him. He's not going to just know that I love him based on a choice that he makes and something that I don't agree with or that I don't allow or that I don't accept. You know what I mean? And under my roof, certain things, he's still my son. I'll still be there for my son and love him. And I didn't say I won't love my son no more. But listen, if you don't stand for some things, you'll fall for anything. And my thing is like this, yo. There were certain rules in my house. It's just like this. If my son smokes weed and he likes smoking weed, right? And he loves smoking weed, right? And he gets mad at me because I won't let him smoke weed in my house. And he says, oh, Dad, you don't understand me. You don't love me. This is how things is. This is accepted everywhere. They done passed it. It's legal in this state and that state. So if I don't allow it in my house, I don't love him because he feels a certain way, because I didn't accept a certain thing in my house. I don't look at it like that. There are certain things. My thing is like this. There are certain things I don't mind a person being mad at me, because there are certain things I'm going to stand on regardless of how you feel about me standing on it. And if you look at that as me not loving you no more, then that's something that you have to get over. Because my love is not just in things that I say. My love is going to be proven through the trail of your whole life, not just in one little instant. My love has been going to be proven from the day that you came out your mother's womb up until you're up out of my house. My love will be shown. So my thing is, like, I'll have a longer trail of me showing my love for you than you shown for me. That's just where I stand on it with that. So it's not like, oh, my son, he does this. Oh, I don't love him no more. He's not my son. I've never said that. But there are certain things I don't have to accept. And I don't care who looks at it a certain way. That's just how they look at it. You know what I mean? My son will know that I love him. My daughter will know that I love them. Because the first time they in something, they coming to see, Daddy, I need help. Because that's the type of man that I am. They will be able to come to me, but they still will know the standards that I set for my house and my home. They will still know that. You know?
Well, to get back on the root of the topic, marriage, you know, having sex before marriage. What would you say generally, not in particular, but what would you say for somebody? I posed the question before. What would you say to somebody who actually is saved? Both parties are saved. Both parties, you know, are Christians, and both parties believe, you know, in the Bible and all the rules and regulations and all that stuff like that. And they actually do wait until they get married. Once they are married, sex is the thing that tears them apart. What do you say for that scenario?
Me personally, if they're both, and this is my opinion, but if they're both virgins going in.
No. They're not both virgins going in.
Oh.
But they sustained from having sex with each other before getting married. And then after they were married, they were, you know, incompatible. And that was one of the reasons why, you know, either the marriage didn't work or, you know, they had issues or problems or whatever the case is?
I would say communication. I mean, I think it's tempting if you're trying not to do it, but communicate. This is what I like, this is what I don't like. Man and female, just communicate and see how compatible you can be as far as that goes. And if you're willing to still take it to the bedroom,
Well, sex, yeah, because sex is one thing. Yeah, you definitely can talk about it, but to actually experience it with someone now that you're married, it's totally different. It's because not only that, but I can lie.
You're like, what? You would say you're blowing a phone.
Especially if, you know what's crazy, would that situation get crazy, is when you finally choose to get married, right? And this is the one that's supposed to be, like, this is the one I marry. I choose to be with the rest of my life.
For the rest of my life.
The rest of my life. And now you get married and you're with them. And the only person you can think about is the last person that pleased you the best, because your husband haven't even knocked that thought out the box.
Wow. Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, wow. We have another caller on the line, too. Hello?
Yo, what's going on, Minister?
What's going on?
How's it going?
How you doing? It's your boy, Mr. Giant.
Oh, what's going on,
Giant?
What's going on?
Yo, look, we chilling. We both on the couch. We watching the game.
You know, I think y'all on the floor. Somebody on the floor. Cause we was already on the couch, and I don't think it was no room on the couch for y'all.
Oh, no, so we moved y'all off the couch, and y'all on the floor there.
We was already kicked back, man, with our feet reclined.
Y'all
don't even got control in the remote control.
It's all good.
How you feeling though?
Good, man. Good.
You been listening to the show
a little
bit?
Yeah, I just caught on to the last good half an hour. I've been listening to the DAU, young lady.
Mm-hmm.
Just my little enlight on it. Come on, brothers. We know this topic is very, very, very. It's a hard topic. I mean, we all have that desire to say, as Christians, or what our faith and belief is. But the sad—I'm not gonna say the sad part, but the truth of the matter is, it just don't happen. And I think the last words you was just saying about I'm stuck with you for the rest of my life. You know how many people got married now that love their mate? But to keep the happy home, that person has to step out, because just in that area is not happening at home.
I've heard the same thing, and yes.
I just had this conversation, and I hate this perception of marriage or sex. Love has nothing to do with sex. I don't know why people say that. I don't understand why people say that. People may have sex because they love somebody, but love has nothing to do with sex. Nothing at all.
It's not love that makes you get an erection.
Exactly. Jay, so true. So, but I'm sorry, Mr. Giants, keep going. I just had to put that in there. You hit it right on the nail, bro.
And I agree. And if I could just put a little testimony on that little thing.
Right,
when I was in a relationship, and it was very, very hard and struggling. Not saying it's right. I mean, but for some reason, when stepped out, it made it more tolerable. My focus wasn't on the issues anymore. I was taking care of my home with a smile, and everybody else was happy. The confusion came was, you knew you wasn't putting a smile on, so where is it coming from? That's where the problems came. But, you know, that's another story over there. But
well, okay,
I have to agree with Mr. Giant.
Did you step out or he stepped out?
Me.
Oh, okay, that's all right. Well, listen.
Body bag. Ball game.
Body bag. And it's crazy. So now I'm going to speak on her topic. And you said body bag. Like, yeah. the body back in, the body back in, another body back. Anyway, so it's crazy. Now I'm looking at my wife, because this is how he's looking at you, sweetie. Like, and you said it. You say, yo, am I putting that smile on her face?
Yeah.
I'm mad and disturbed because I'm really wondering, are we really happy within my home because of what I'm doing? Or just things really got smoother because of her stepping out to just
now that's
that need?
No.
That's the start of the question to fix whatever the problem is, should it,
mm-hmm.
even if it is a problem, but that's the start. Now you have the option to A, use that question to fix the situation, or B, turn into a little crab in your shell and let it go on as it is. I feel like as a man of your home, me personally, I wouldn't want somebody else stepping
mm-hmm.
in, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, so I'm going to fix my issue so that I can take over that situation. But I'm only speaking from a woman's point of view. I don't think like a man.
I'm sorry, excuse me. Question is this. Now, sometimes, point blank, period. That's your man, that's your husband. Baby, I need you to do this, like this, like this, like that. Don't stop right here. Everything needs to be put out there. Now, if he says, I'm not going to do that, then that's definitely a problem. But now, what if he does try his best?
And he still can't do it like James? I don't know.
That's a problem. We got personal. I know the name.
I use a fake name. I'm sorry. I would just use a fake name to just play with the little scenario. No real names included.
It's all right. That's all right. That's a big problem. That's a real big problem. And that's why we have to have sex. Sorry, guys. That's why we have to have sex to make sure she's a freak the way I need her to be and make sure she's getting what she needs the way now we can move on. Because at the end of the day, so that's not even the love part. I just need to make sure this area is good so I don't have to step out on the one I do love. You go ahead, Minister.
Yes. And that statement is like, The one statement with the you don't do at home somebody more than willing is, that's very, very true.
Very true.
Not big on cliches, but that one is very true. Because it's like mad people, you know how they say the grass is greener on the other side. When your grass is green, everybody likes your grass. So as soon as they got the opportunity to go over there and play in it, they're going to. Because they like how you guys take care of your grass.
Go ahead,
Jeff. All right, now this is going to sound crazy. This might be a little bit much what I'm about to say, though, right? It's crazy what I'm about to say. And no offense to any women or any guys.
Try me.
All right? If you were treated like a whore, you love being treated like a whore, right? And you
mm-hmm.
did the horrid things. Now that you married, he's trying to treat you like the precious, like little cute little flower. And that's not what gets you off. It's that you like being treated like a whore, but you
mm-hmm.
really not being honest with him to let him know that.
Wow.
What you think that he, how he going to look at you because you don't want
wow.
to let him know that you were treated like that by mm. somebody else.
Wow.
I'm a nasty man.
Wait, I'm curious. What is being treated like a whore?
You know
meaning,
what it is. And exactly what it is.
No.
Mind.
I'm very curious.
I can't go into details on the
show. What you may think is being treated like a whore, others may think, tomato, it's a freaky thing.
Yeah,
right.
No.
A lot of people like
it.
To be freaky. You put your opinion on
I'm
being like
I'm not calling you. I'm not saying
What acts are like whorish acts?
No. He's saying because of the kind of show this is, he can't go into details. None of us can actually go into details. But he says, he's basically saying, you put yourself in the situation of you knowing what truly, truly, truly 100% pleases you as a woman. Now, think
uh-huh.
about that.
And he's
saying, now, by you thinking that, the man is actually looking at that as being very, 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 very promiscuous, very, very promiscuous. And he's saying that... By like by you being that way, he's like kind of putting you in the light of, oh, I don't look at her as being very promiscuous. I look at her as being my wife and sweet and beautiful and lovely. But you're saying, look at me as being promiscuous. I want you to look at me because that's what pleases me. And he's not doing that. He's looking at you from
because his perception of a wife is not promiscuous, and he really don't want you to be that because he thought he married something else.
Exactly.
Communication. You got to establish that before you get married.
Yeah, but I really believe deep down inside, I'm going to take it on another side there. They don't have to go that deep as into sex. The truth of the matter is, like you said, boom, my woman wants this, but he don't look at it in that way. He honestly think it's kind of not refreshing for my wife to be nasty. And it's like, at the end of the day, a woman, sometimes, like when you say, Minister Jay, when you say, yo, she wants to be treated like this, vice versa, a woman cannot help what they appeal to. Meaning, it's deep down inside they want to be treated like that. They know what type of dude would treat them just like that, but they know at the end of the day they won't get the whole picture of a marriage because that's only what they're good for. So they
oh, yeah, the whole package, yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, because the one she with, he the one that provides, and he the good guy. He got her living good. Well, he doing
wow, I love you. You're beautiful. You're a princess. Here are your cards, your roses. And she the whole time is like, okay, thank you, but when you gonna give it to me what I really want?
When you gonna
that part is so interesting. If she said that, it may mess things up, and she really don't want. So she want him to just automatically know what to do without her telling him.
Now check it.
Sometimes it's not even that. The point of the matter is, she's like, Dad, I really want a good thing, and I want a husband. But this area, I'm just not even appealed to him in the first place.
Yeah, true. Now, Tehoho, I wanna take it on a whole nother level. Whether people agree with it or not, it's fact. It's true. Your studies have been proven to be true. By nature, man and female, but you do have exceptions, just like you have exceptions to everything. But by nature, it's not in us to be monogamous. It's not in us to be with somebody, one person, for the rest of our lives. It's not a human natural thing to do. That's why religion plays a huge role in marriage, because I have to totally put aside my physical, my nature, and say, I choose to be with this man or I choose to be with this woman for the rest of my life. It's very difficult, especially for men. Because
for men,
naturally, naturally, it's in us to want to procreate with as many women as possible.
Oh,
it's in our nature. It's who we are. We can't help that. But what we have to do is, because of culture, because of religion, we actually put that naturalistic side aside and apart, and then when we do get married, these are the things that we have to sacrifice. These are the, and I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the freaking Pope. Every man deals with this, and a lot of women deal with it as well, but more so for men. So it's very hard, very difficult for a man for the rest of his life to say to himself, this is the only woman that I truly want to have sex with, not spend the rest of my life with, because sex and love, like I said, has nothing to do with each other. They're total opposites. I could love my wife. I could truly love my wife, want to be my wife for the rest of my life, want to be my husband for the rest of his life. But I still want to have sex with Ricky, or I still want
and
to have sex with Lisa.
Unfortunately, as a woman, it's hard to digest that because we want to be the only one. I got to share my husband? That don't sound right. But when you look at man as man, not a man, but human, as they are, other cultures accept it. You're allowed to have more than one wife. Because
I told you.
That's easier to live.
What makes the rules? What changes nature is culture. Because at one time that was accepted, like you said, as right. It was accepted as truth. It was even in the Bible, God condoned it.
Yeah, Solomon. I'd be wondering if Solomon really had those wives, or he just went into all those women and they, because biblically became their wife. That's just a side note. I was always curious to know that.
But as a woman,
it's hard to swallow that, to say, okay, you open up your eyes to reality, unfortunately, that's how what do all women say? All men cheat. All men cheat. But why? Because it's in their nature to be attracted to more than one woman.
I love what Chris Rock said. Chris Rock said, a man is as faithful as his options.
Wow.
This is true.
Wow.
That's why the Christian belief said you have to be born again, because you have to put on a new mind. You have to put on a new type of attitude in order for you not to be subject to what's natural, to what is natural to humans, to you yourself. Muslims had kind of a different respect on it. They actually do believe in polygamy, and they also believe in, once they die as a martyr, they actually get 7 virgins in heaven. How come they couldn't just get 1? They get 7. What does that tell you?
They love women just like all men.
Mm-hmm. What do you have to say about all that, Jay?
I was enjoying what y'all were saying.
I'm not necessarily saying, like, you know, I'm just saying, like, you wanna put some input on any of that besides the young lady?
Go ahead, Mr.
As men?
I mean, to be honest, I think all along, I mean, even when y'all just spoke on, like, other religions have that option or the okay to have multiple. I still don't, even though I'm a man, yeah, we are nasty, cool, that's what's up, whatever, but I don't believe anyone has to cheat. Our nature, sure, definitely. Does it have to happen? No, because there is some proven ones that don't have to.
Right.
But I do believe if you do have that one that do supply it, every category, I believe that it is possible for a happy home.
I apologize. Because you said this one time to me. We had our conversations off to ourselves, whatever. And you said, there can be a man or a female who has all of those things. They just satisfied at home. The wife does everything. The husband does everything. They're pleased sexually, but they still step out and want to have sex with somebody else. Even though that wife or that husband pleases them to the core, they still just want to step out.
Right. Now, look, you're 100% right. 100% right. But like I said, yes, that's most, and given nature, everything could be right. Like, baby, dudes cheat for 2 reasons. 1, because they're not happy, or 2, they just a nasty person regardless. Baby, ain't nothing you doing wrong for me to be like, oh, baby, why are you cheating? There's no reason. I'm just dirty like that.
I'm agreeing
to 90% at all. I'm just saying it is some out there that can't be happy with just home. Because me personally, I'm
happy with just home.
That percentage of a man that is happy because he's being supplied with everything he wants and don't just have that urge.
True. But hold on. But listen, you have to understand, I'm still a man.
Yeah.
And I will always have the urge, but like you said, you don't have to act out on it, or you don't have to necessarily, you know, crave for it or lust for it or whatever the case is, but I'm still a man.
Damn.
And I am 32 years old, and God willing, if I live to see age of 50, you're saying, me personally, because I know I'm not saying, I'm going to have desires possibly to want to sleep with other women.
Does it have to really be a desire?
I'm not saying that I'm going to do it. I don't necessarily say that I have to do it or would do it, but the desire will be there because I'm a man and it's natural for me to have that.
And you know what? I think it boils down to the choice that you make.
Yeah.
You have your marriage and you have your relationship, and like me and you had a conversation one time. You was like, yo, I don't cheat on my wife because the Bible or something says not to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't cheat because I love her. And it's like the love that I have for her that I choose not to do that. It's not no rule or no, book that's telling me why I don't do it because I love her. So my thing is, when you're in a relationship and you're in a marriage, when you begin to put the other person's feelings above your feelings, there are certain things that you won't do because you don't want to bring certain hurt and certain things to other people. Not saying you don't feel the feeling or the desire or the temptation, mm-hmm. however you want to call it, because, listen, you could have a dream, and your dream can be on some other stuff. And get up, and now you got those thoughts in your mind. But then it comes down to you making, listen, I know this moment of pleasure might be good for me, but it can destroy a lifetime of things that I built. It comes down to a choice.
Now, check this out. I have this saying that I keep to my heart. I will never, ever let it go. I say marriage is the principal thing, but the rules are based on what the couple allows their rules to be. Yes, marriage is awesome. Marriage is cool. But my rules aren't based on a book. My rules aren't based on what my neighbor's rules are in their marriage. My rules are based on what works for me and my wife or me and my husband. That is what it is. Now, for
instance, you got married because of a book, though, right?
No, I didn't get married because of a book. But
why did you get married?
I got married because it's the principal thing.
Well,
it's the principal thing to do.
Who told you that?
Hold on 1 second.
Saved by the call.
Culture tells me that. And yes, religion has a whole lot to do with it, but that's based on culture. I didn't get married because of the book. I did not.
So, I mean, did you get it because TV or...
Meaning that our American society, our American culture says once you are at a place where you feel as though you are happy in life, you have done all the things that you wanted to do, you have found some type of success, now you want to have kids, now you want to settle down, this is the time to get married. I didn't say I'm getting married because Jesus spoke to me and said it's the right thing to do because you would rather have sex during marriage or then burn in hell.
America said it's the right thing to do.
Our culture says it's the thing to do.
America.
I didn't say right.
Because America said.
Yes, the culture that I live in, yes. Our society, America.
Man, you got married because of the Bible. Man, you got married because of the Bible, man. I don't want to hear because of America.
Check it. Check this out. Now, what if there is a couple, right? There's a couple who they both agree that they want to be swingers, per se. Both of them agree to that. It works for them. They're happy with it. They're okay with it. They understand the rules, whatever the case is, and it's cool for them. Would you call them wrong and you have a better marriage than they do because you don't do it?
I don't say I have a better marriage than anybody, regardless of what. I don't even say stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even look at, like, when it comes to marriage.
Yeah.
I don't put marriage. This is one thing. I'm a very competitive person in a lot of things. For real. But marriage is one thing that I don't
compete,
you know,
with.
I mean, compete with. Like, I don't compete with marriage. I don't
mm-hmm.
even look at it in that form. Like, because I look at my marriage, it's my marriage. It's my thing. It has nothing to do. It can't be compared.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And that's my point. That's my point. My point is, marriage is the principal thing to do. But the rules that I set within my marriage is up to me and my partner. Because what works for me may not work for the people who are married down the street. And what works for them may not work for me.
Yeah, you ever watch this movie called Big, or it used to call it HBO, called Big Love?
Yes, yes, uh-huh. Yeah, with the Mormons who believe in polygamy, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and polygamy. Wow.
Yeah, I've seen it before.
Yo,
like,
Mr. Giants, could you see yourself living like that? You still on or you hung up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm here. I know you said Giants. Honestly, man.
You can see yourself having two
wives. I
want to
live my life like that now. Let me run, be a nasty person now. I'm not saying I am a nasty person. I'm just saying, if that's my choice, let me do all that dirt digger stuff before marriage.
Okay.
And so when you get married, you won't want to have three wives.
I'm good on that. I'm saying, let me do it all. And I look, who knows what household people was raised in or why.
They may not want to, yeah.
Right.
People had a lot of wives.
Ask our lady caller on that same question.
Yes.
Would you want to have three husbands?
Heck no.
Because you don't want to cook three meals? Or because it's not right?
No. You know, see, it's different for us. We don't want one more than one. We want to be the one. We're not about gain and about the more the happier. No, we're content with one, and we just want to make the best out of that one, and that's it.
Me
too. Well, that's me. I want to make the best out of that one.
Mm-hmm.
And we can make many kids and all that.
Is the biggest thing to you the money or the pipe game?
Well.
See, now you're going to sign up, bro.
Money?
Hey, yo, but guess
oh,
what?
My gosh.
Yo.
Is there only like 4 minutes left? Are you serious?
Okay, listen. Don't you believe it. Yo, let's keep it real. Now, earlier, AD, you said,
you said,
I ain't for sure I agree on it, but I know you know what I'm talking about. You kind of say, love is not sex. You know how many chicks fall in love with
because
the pipe game?
But that's, no.
Oh, yes.
Take it back. That's not falling in love because of the pipe game. If they clearly
they
don't know what love is,
that's what
they become more infatuated with you.
Right, but that's what they think. And guess what?
But what I'm saying is, check
them
it.
There.
If you're with someone, right, and they're not performing, right, and the guy that can perform and you go to that guy that can perform because of his pipe game, you're willing to leave. To go to the pipe game,
yes.
From something that's stable and, you know, providing and making sure, you know, things are taken care of and, you know, in a nice
guy stuff.
Well,
to answer the
question,
they did.
To answer his question, money or pipe game, you're asking someone who doesn't even look at money in that form. Money to me is just helps to sustain. That's it. If you could use another option other than money, because it's going to have to, I would have to go with pipe game all day, because money to me is not of value. We need it, to get with the things we need and want. But
pipe game or love?
Love.
But yeah.
At the end of the day, if I had to choose one or the other, definitely love.
That's
just
sad
how it can last
sound,
only
though.
Between what, a couple minutes to a few hours, and it's done. I want something with longevity, something that'll last. I prefer love. Pipe and I can get anywhere. Just like y'all can get. I'm sorry if I'm saying it wrong.
So,
but
so you said pipe game, you can get anywhere.
If you have love, right?
Would you still try? So if you have love, right? You said pipe game, you can get anywhere. All right. Is it love if you go out and get pipe game? Because pipe game ain't where love is.
I told you, love has nothing to do with sex. Yo, love and sex is like is like money and fire. It doesn't mix.
No,
okay.
What I'm saying, though, all right.
If I have a good home, is it love to produce loyalty? It can.
Yeah, but see, no. See, people get the whole concept of love and sex wrong.
What's the whole? Come on, like every listen, you gotta understand, Aaron. You can't talk based upon a certain couple's rules in their thing.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that people get the concept of it wrong. And the concept
is marriage supposed to produce loyalty? I just need that question.
Yes. Because marriage. Listen to what I'm saying to you. If the rules of that marriage consist of, yes, I'm loyal to you, you're loyal to me, but we still.
Most likely, if it's rules with the sex thing, and then most likely it's going to be more in the favor of the guy. Because the average guy in a marriage, the man ain't okay with his wife going out to please herself
right.
or something else.
Listen. And the reason why they aren't is because we do not understand the difference between sex and love. We don't understand the concept of it.
Let me ask you this question.
Because there are a lot of guys who are. Swingers out there who do this.
Yeah, I'm saying. Let me ask you this question. Is it love or is just I'm glad I'm in something where I can fulfill my lust and my pleasures? Because
what do you mean by that?
Like, what I'm saying is,
these people really do love. They love each other. I know someone personally who loves his wife. His wife loves him.
But if he don't mind her being penetrated by another man.
Nope.
Yeah. Now you know how you say there are some things are crazy. You say some things are crazy. Like to me. Now to me, just me looking at it. To me, just with that thought, it's a little something wrong upstairs. That's just my opinion with that.
What do you look at that,
Mr. Giant?
Hold on, I'm gonna say something real quick. One second.
Do you think a man that doesn't mind another man penetrating his woman, do you think it's something wrong upstairs with him?
That's why I didn't want you to answer next. But, yeah, I mean, come on, keep it mad real. I mean, come on, Jay. You know what it is? I'm killing a nigga. So,
Listen to what I'm saying to you. There are some people who are like that. Now, I'm talking. I'm talking from a personal standpoint. Yo, I'm married to my wife. I'm not leaving my wife. I don't care what happens. I'm not going nowhere. My wife isn't going nowhere. If I could not please my wife in any possible way, I kid you not. I know a couple that has done that.
They've been together for years and years and years. Their children are grown, and she allowed, I guess she felt comfortable to share it with me, but she